Hello, and welcome to this special episode of the ScotchCast, the PS4 special, in fact. I'm your host, Alcoholics Nick. Joining me today is Shinboy630.
The PS4 is special.
And Squiddle.
I feel so special in my pants.
The next generation has started for the second time, or if you don't count the Wii U, it has started.
Star Trek, the Next Generation special.
It's a reboot.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Is it?
It's okay, we're in safe territory. Riker has a beard.
Oh, good.
Anyway, so before we get to the actual console, since that's come out this week, and that will be the majority of this episode, these two gentlemen joining me today weren't here for last week's Game of the Generation special, so they weren't able to weigh in things like Uncharted 2 versus Red Dead Redemption.
What's Uncharted 2? Where Uncharted 2 should be the victor?
Yeah, well, the Giant Bomb community, out of like 700 votes, seems to disagree, and I disagree with them, because they're crazy.
Yep, I'm with you.
I just think not enough people have played Uncharted 2 because it's a PS3.
It was funny talking about the Fallout 3 versus The Witcher 2 matchup. Mm-hmm. Someone like The Witcher 2 was losing like 55-45% or something.
Yeah.
And some guy was like, "Hey, look at all these people that played Fallout and didn't play The Witcher."
And so true, right? Jeez.
Yep.
You know what? The Witcher 2 is actually my biggest regret from last week. We didn't bring it up. It should have at least been in the running for best RPG. But I don't think it would have won a best RPG anyway. Like Mass Effect 2. Just
is not an RPG, but okay.
Just destroyed that category. It's totally an RPG.
It's a good game, but it's a third person shooter with RPG elements.
Oh god, you level up and you put stuff in things. I don't know. It's so hard to tell nowadays as to what's what. But I'm happy we broke it out by generation, by genre, because otherwise it would have been like Journey versus Uncharted, and it wouldn't
make sense. Oh, you mean like Journey versus Call of Duty 4 on the Giant Bomb tournament?
Exactly. It just wouldn't make sense. I prefer the way we did it. So anyway, we have a whole 3-hour episode of what I think and other people think of Games of the Generation or Last Generation. But you two, who wants to go first? Shinboy.
Come up with a list. I have like 2 games on that list so far.
I gotta start typing. Hold on.
Games of the Generation.
The Witcher 2 yep. is one of them.
Okay.
I'll throw Mass Effect 2 in there. That game's really, really good.
Yes, it is. Bioshock Infinite has
Journey.
To be released, I assume.
Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite. I'm just throwing games.
Yeah.
What's my Steam library?
I'm happy that the PC was well represented last week, which is good.
I love me some Darksiders.
Yeah.
Skyrim. Portal 2.
Where do you guys like lay on the Skyrim versus Oblivion?
Oblivion is a bad game. Skyrim is a good game.
Wow! All right,
I can argue. I can argue just one point. I did like the Oblivion storyline, but the game mechanics were absolutely awful compared to
and
Skyrim.
The world was boring.
It was. But it was fun that you could just. I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed killing people more in Oblivion than I ever did in Skyrim. I don't know why. I can't explain it.
I disagree. I like the combat in Skyrim way, way more, especially once you get the shield. I played most of the game with magic, but when I played with the shield, I was like, oh, this is really good too. And yeah, anyway.
Except Shivering Isles was awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, sure. So we have what? Journey is probably your favorite game of this generation, if not all time. And anyone who's been listening to the show for a long period of time would know that already. And then somewhere in there would be Mass Effect 2, Bioshock Infinite. The Witcher 2.
I really like The Witcher 2.
Then, man.
I'll just throw Skyrim in there as well. I'm just looking at this list.
That's cool.
I think what other like console games that I played.
Yeah, well, we brought up some mobile games. They never... Oh, yeah, so...
Fire Emblem would be on there.
Yeah, see, I was the guy who didn't like Fire Emblem that much, so it didn't get represented well last week, I think. I think if you were there, it would have gone a little bit differently for that game.
Did you end up playing on casual?
I played it on the hardest difficulty available, but yes, on casual. Because
Then you have no right to talk about opinions of Fire Emblem.
I played it as if I wasn't on casual. The only reason I played on casual is because the 3DS doesn't have multitasking. So I couldn't bop out to other stuff whilst also in the game. That's why I left it on casual. I didn't play, I didn't save reloads like mid match or anything during that game. So no, it was good. It was good. It just wasn't, I just didn't, my problem wasn't the mechanics. The mechanics of Fire Emblem are fucking solid. My problem with Fire Emblem is the storyline and the characterization. I just thought, found it lacking.
Especially the storyline itself is
it's really just sort
of
there
because it has to be.
It's so dumb. You guess the ending at the start of the game and it shows you half of it.
It just sort of it's just sort of there because it has to be.
Yeah, and then that's kind of my
all
big
of the character
problem.
Interactions with all of the supports are all really good.
No, I think
100%
some of them are really good.
Of them are good.
I think some of them are really, really good. Especially my favorite ones were the ones that wouldn't lead to a romance. So like when two dudes were speaking or two chicks were speaking, that was really cool. But when any romance was like thrown into the mix, it's just like really shit and stupid as to how quickly these two people can fall incredibly in love and get married in like five.
I thought that was great because sequences. The game sort of seemed to realize how dumb that was.
But some of them were good. Like some were like, oh, these two would actually go really well together. That's cute. But some of them were just like, they're making like a shitty reason why these two people would get together. But hey, whatever. I made some overpowered kids. Anyway, Squiddle.
Hi.
Where are you standing?
Would
Infinity Blade be on there somewhere?
Yeah, for mobile. It is on my list for mobile gameplay.
Yeah.
But probably BioShock Infinite and Mass Effect are probably 1 and 2 battling for first priority.
This is good picks. Good picks.
And when I say Mass Effect, I mean Mass Effect 2, not
3. Thank you.
Just to clarify that for everyone listening.
When you said that, that's what went through my head. Or the whole series, which is also a valid answer. It's a pretty good
I never Where's played the purpose? Never I never played the first game. So
oh, you should
play the first game. Yeah. Or you should do what I hope they do, and we were talking about this the other day, and sort of do a Kingdom Hearts thing and release like a Mass Effect 1.5 with like the gameplay of 2, but everything else of 1.
Oh,
that'd be kind of cool.
Because the story in 1
that would be so like, good.
Blows the other 2 out of the water, but it plays so poorly.
Oh, man. Someone has their phone
that?
On.
What was that other game that came out that was the
another BioWare game?
No, it wasn't a BioWare. It was an independent game, Hotline Miami. That's probably has to be my fourth one on the list that I have for games of a generation.
That's pretty damn solid.
And if I knew I was going to be put on the spot like this, I would have had a better list put together.
No, that's
but off
fine.
The top
Whatever.
Of my hand, that's what I have.
That's fine.
I like it off the top of the head better because it's just like, you know what games immediately come to your mind when you think of best games I played? And those are the ones that most likely had the biggest impact.
Yeah, can it be games that I've been playing on a ROM on my new Nexus 5 that brings back nostalgia that I really love playing?
No, because then like Persona 4 would have entered the running and that would have been... If I had to sit there and fight for Persona 4 Golden as the best RPG of the generation, it would have gone for the rest of that episode and I would have won. Because fuck those guys, that would just worn them down. But I made the executive decision to not include that in the discussions.
I can't be bothered to get excited about any Persona news that may or may not be happening.
7 days or some shit until that's out. Oh, can't wait. Can't wait.
It reminds me of someone that's waiting for a manga to come out and they're just so stoked about it. And they can't wait that they're waiting at the bookstore for it to come out. Like, did you get it? Did you come in yet?
I don't know. It's like the only dude in line at a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
that's how I feel as a Persona fan. Me and like one giant, a LinkyCast listener, I've unfortunately forgotten the name of, but we may get together and do a Persona cast if there's something big next week.
Wow.
Yeah, that's going to happen. It's going to be a thing, but whatever. Let's put all that
aside.
Can I
just go on and groan the whole time?
Sure.
Wouldn't that just be a personal cast, like Persona, a personal cast?
That's kind of what it is, man, because Persona is all about like how you feel.
Wow.
So
what kind of drugs are you taking?
But I'm taking really pumped drugs, like something to sedate me until the release date of the PS4 here. Which is
some Coumadin, some
11 days. Jesus Christ, it's going to take forever till that rolls around. But someone here does have a PlayStation 4.
Who's that?
Shinboy630? Is that a PS4 I see on your desk?
Oh, man.
How are you seeing into my room?
Is the best
question here.
Wow.
I was adding pointless drama. How is the PS4? What, tell me the story. Tell me the story of you getting it, because it's probably unexciting, right?
They're actually, no, quite the opposite.
Oh, cool.
There actually was some excitement.
All right, go ahead. Let's do this.
My UPS dude used to come out like 8 at night, right? Or like at least really late. Right, then we recently got a new UPS dude who shows up in the middle of the day, like okay. around noon.
Yep.
Which would be an issue because they would probably make me sign for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to be in class like a 40-minute drive away at the that this thing was going to show up. So I was waiting for the damn thing to ship from Amazon so I could reroute it to like a UPS like customer center or whatever the hell they're called.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So it didn't ship until like it was, you know, they say arrival date Friday, November 15th by 8 p.m. It didn't ship until like 7 p.m. on Thursday.
Oh, geez. So all right. Yep.
I had to sit there and wait. And then I finally got it, you know, changed over to the UPS customer center and it was no big deal. And then I get to class and I show up at school and I check my email and I got an email saying that the delivery date was changed to Monday the 18th because I changed some details on it.
Oh,
wow.
So I started flipping out like in class. Like I was not paying attention to the lecture at all. I was messaging like everyone I knew, like, have you ever had this happen? Checking like the GAF thread on the post your PS4 shipping info.
Yep.
It was good because he showed like a 40-minute movie in class.
Nice.
About the manufacturing of the wafers that chips are made on. Anyway, that was kind of boring. So,
sure.
On the way home, because the UPS customer center was on way home, I stopped and I was like, you guys said that my thing's supposed to not be here until Monday, but it was originally supposed to get here today. What's going on? So the dude, you know, you need some form of ID to pick up your package. So I handed him my driver's license and he looks up my name. And he goes, oh, we have it here. It's in the back. He went out and got it. So
nice.
What happened was, because I asked them, they guarantee, but they usually say your package will be available by 8:30 a.m. on the day of delivery. So it would have been 8:30 a.m. that Friday.
Right.
But it didn't get there until 10 a.m. And you only have 5 weekdays or 5 business days to pick up your package after it gets there.
Right.
So because it got there late, they pushed the delivery date back a day to give me an extra day to pick it up.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Right.
Yeah. So the dude carries it out and the other guy working there was like, oh, let me guess what's in there, a PlayStation. And I'm like, what, have you guys been getting a lot of these? He's like, I've been seeing them in my sleep.
Awesome.
UPS would have been processing a lot because PlayStation 4 sold 1 million units to customers in the first 24 hours.
All units.
Wait, just 1 million? 1 million? 1 million units?
1 million troops.
There's a pretty cool infographic.
Hold on. How long has it been since that joke was made on this podcast?
It's been weeks, and I've been secretly really happy that it's gone that long, but thanks for ruining the streak, Shinboy. It's like, you know, it's those like horrible workplaces where people get injured every day, and there's a counter of how many days it's been since. It's like that, but with that shitty joke for this podcast.
Yeah, but that's awesome when you see it tick to 1 and then go to 0 and then it never actually gets to 5 because you know that like John the other day sliced his arm off with like a buzzsaw. I mean, it's okay, never mind.
So speaking, going back to Game of the Gen for a little bit, I also want to add Pokemon XXXX and YY.
Really?
Why?
Okay, was that just for the sake of that joke or was it actually?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because I don't think that game is worth. All right.
Oh.
But yeah. 1 million units in the first 24 hours. And yes, that is a lot because it actually outsells the first month of pretty much every console before this, all the way back to like the PS2. So just after the PS2, I think the PS2 might have beat it in its first month, but we're talking about the first day sales here. So yeah, it did well. And that's just in North America with the European release happening this week or this coming week. So it's going to be big. Anyway, That backslapping aside, Shinboy 630, how do you actually like your PlayStation 4?
I really like my PlayStation 4.
So
like Well, go ahead. Ask your question. Ask away.
Because Giant Bomb did a 24-hour stream. And you're sick at the moment, so I'm perfectly capable of doing most of the talking here. They did a 24-hour stream. They pretty much showed most of the actual system and some of the games.
They didn't work 24 hours with the PlayStation.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, 8-hour stream. It was an 8-hour stream. Yeah, you're right. They did an 8-hour stream, showed most of the system, moving around the system and stuff. What games did you end up getting with your PS4?
Right now I have obviously Resogun and Contrast. I also have Sound Shapes and FIFA. I'm that weird American that bought FIFA instead of Madden.
Whoa, that's a list I wasn't expecting. I was expecting the first two because they come free with the system.
I also have a copy of Killzone and Knack.
Yeah, see, I thought so.
I'm not gonna play them until Christmas, apparently. Whatever.
Wait, why? Is that just because they're bad? Or
no, because my parents bought like the Amazon had a buy two get one, and they're just like, "Yo, do you want games for your new system?" Since Amazon has this thing, I'm like, "Sure." So they bought them for me for Christmas, and you're like, "You can pick the free one to play." I'm like, "I'm gonna pick FIFA over the other two."
Sure. So you have to wait till Christmas.
But to be honest, FIFA has a lot more of the comedic value when it comes to seeing how broken it could possibly be.
It's not that broken.
FIFA just looks like a good game. Oh, yeah, it looks like probably the best game, maybe aside from Resogun, than you got for the system. So how's next gen FIFA?
Next gen FIFA is actually surprisingly good. I'd played a ton of FIFA 13, so I sort of knew like what to expect in FIFA, except a lot of the little tweaks they made, like the animations are a lot better and a lot less janky. And because of that, because the animations sort of flow better, the game actually plays better.
Okay.
Which is good.
It
looks good enough.
But FIFA's always been good, hasn't it? They've been good games.
Like over the last, I would say starting with FIFA 10 or 11, they've been pretty good.
Yeah. So is this the full FIFA that you're getting, or is it like a stripped down next gen version?
Oh, this is like full FIFA. It has, you know, Ultimate Team and crazy online play. Like I forgot exactly what set of menus and modes you need to go through, but you can play 11 versus 11 online, which is always really funny.
That's cool.
No one stays back on defense.
Yeah, that sounds like the worst thing ever.
And when your team scores, it's really funny because everyone just runs in sporadic directions doing backflips and cartwheels, and it's highly entertaining.
Wouldn't there be like a massive offside problem if you're playing 11 versus 11, or does people actually not suck?
You get a lot of people on defense trying to bait people into going offsides, which is always kind of funny.
That's cool. That is cool. Oh man.
But the solution to that is never pass.
Sure.
Because 11-on-11, everyone's in for themselves. Like, that's how it works, right?
Yep. Yep. And it's funny because like the way it works is, at least I haven't actually tried it so far in 14, but the way it worked in the previous games is you have, you know, the 11 positions listed, obviously. And then there's like a countdown and you have everyone in the lobby, and then it's just like go, and everyone just has to pick a position at once. So of course everyone goes for like strikers and attackers. If you're slow on the draw, you have to end up being the goalie.
So is 11-on-11 online actually fun in FIFA?
It's fun because of how dumb it is.
Okay, cool.
You don't get any real strategy going on.
Right. And I guess if you're playing with the right, like if you're playing like in competitive bullshit with people who care, then that's one thing. But general online would just be fucking whatever. This is have some fun, which I guess is.
Yeah. Don't like playing FIFA online because everyone like super cheeses everything.
That sucks.
Like,
that sucks.
You can just hold X. So like if you hold X on defense, your dude just sort of like runs up on the dude with the ball and just stays with him no matter what. So really? People just do that constantly.
That's weird. Anyway, we're getting into minutia of FIFA that's probably not germane to this episode. But so with FIFA, I pretty much have two questions. One, is the online working with PS4? Like, how's the PSN holding up?
I haven't actually played online, but I've done some Ultimate Team stuff where you can bid on players, and all of that seemed to work fine.
Okay, cool. That's good, because it wasn't until I saw the sales numbers that how janky PSN has been started making sense, because It's a next-gen launch, and if anyone's been paying attention to like MMO launches or online game launches like Battlefield 4 over the past couple of years, they know that shit never works out in terms of online for next-gen. How was that experience for you for PS4, like just the whole online experience?
I couldn't sign in for like the first hour after I got it, and then I was signed in, and the sign-in stuff has worked fine since. It's just been the store has been down a lot.
Right. So
that's about it.
And that's... So, well, the store being down a lot actually sounds like a pretty bad thing, because if you want... Like, are you still able to get your PS Plus stuff, like your free games?
Yeah, like I got Contrast and Resogun and Sound Shapes and everything.
Right.
No problem.
Cool. And so that's just kind of worked out. How was the download speeds?
I don't know, because I wasn't watching it. I was just sort of downloading while playing FIFA.
Oh. And there we go. Next gen is finally fucking here.
Oh, no. You want a quick little anecdote about how much next gen is here?
Go ahead.
I had downloaded 1.5, the firmware update, onto a flash drive in case the network was borked.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned the thing on, and you have to go through the initial setup, like, you know, basic settings and health and safety warnings and what name do you want to use, like profile stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go through all that, and I'm like, okay. It says, there's a system update. Do you want to download it? And me and I had a friend over at the time. We were looking at it. And I'm like, I have this thing here, but I'm curious. I'm just going to hit yes, I'll download it. And then it was already halfway downloading because it had been downloading in the background the entire time.
Oh, man. Ooh. That's cool. That's
pretty nice.
That is awesome. I can't remember. Some download clients do that, and it is my favorite thing. It's like... Because essentially, especially with something that's like 300 megs, like this update, and everyone having fast connections, the time it takes you to go through those menus and sort out where you want to put it in your hard drive, for example, on PC, or in this case, just select, yes, let's just do this shit. It would have been half finished. And so the fact that they queue that up for you is awesome. And it's just, it's kind of like...
I downloaded like 150 some odd megs of the 330 megs just while I was going through initial setup.
And that was like the craziest thing, because like... For the Wii U launch, like just comparing the two, it is like night and day how the Wii U launched and how the PS4 launched. Note, it is a 1 year difference between the two, and the powers of the system are a little bit different. But like, I'm saying a little bit just to be generous here. So when the Giant Bomb guys got into their Wii U's, it took them like 2 hours just to connect it to their Wi-Fi networks. And then from there, it took them another hour to get it downloaded, updated, and installed. Whereas this, what happened was the Giant Bomb guys set up a PS4 live on stream about halfway through the 8 hours, and they cut away from it while it was doing some stuff. And by the time they'd cut back after like a short conversation between the guys, it had finished updating and it was already ready to go. It was just like a non-event. They didn't even bother showing most of it on the stream because it works. Like the whole thing just fucking works, and that is.
So would that have been like bandwidth issues on Nintendo's side?
Yeah.
So it's probably just better understanding of how many people are actually going to be accessing this when they were shipped, as opposed.
It's kind of both. Like on Nintendo's side, just the installation process took like an hour for them, or like 45 minutes on that system. In fact, it was hilarious because it was like went down to like 25 minutes and then went back up to like 30 minutes and it did crazy shit on their end. So there was some element of just the software being bad. But beyond that, like the download was slow. And that's something I've seen with the PS4 coverage, is that we have a theory, but somehow they've kind of pretty much fixed PSN download speeds, because not only is our download still working even though PSN is down, like if the store is down, your updates and shit will still work, and they'll keep downloading, and that'll be...
Yep, like, I couldn't log in to... actually could not log in with my account on PSN, but it did not affect that, like, that firmware update.
Yeah. It's like...
And also, they've... Cynic, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Don't you find it strange that at the same time, all these people are talking about the increased speeds and stability of PSN, that Amazon is now selling PSN codes?
You know what, Shinboy? That is strange. It's somewhat convenient of the timing of Amazon having exclusive access to PSN download codes and selling digital games on PSN, and PSN itself having a massive increase in its speed of downloads. I wonder why.
What a strange coincidence.
How did that happen?
It shocks me that no one, like, no, like, reporters like Patrick Klepek, like, no one's picking up on something that's clearly obvious to anyone who's looking at the industry. It's just that Sony from February has been promising like a lightning fast new network that they're setting up that will fix download speeds and PSN. And everyone's like, yeah, whatever. You're not actually going to do that. It's just as if Sony's ever going to actually fix their shit, right? That was the general stuff since February. Or maybe at best for people like me, we'd be like, I hope Sony does actually fix their shit. But since then, we heard like nothing about them actually making strides towards doing it. But then for it to actually work on the day and this Amazon stuff to be announced at the same time, I think it's like blatantly obvious that PS4 is Sony's just using Amazon's network.
Because Amazon used to sell PSN codes. Then they had an argument with Sony and they stopped.
Yeah, exactly. And that was like halfway through this generation. So it's been like a couple of years and now it's back. And then it's crazy because not only is that one side of it, so PS down download speeds are fast and they're siphoned off from the network. So if the network goes down, it'll work. That's all awesome. But not only that, Amazon is beating Sony's prices on pretty much everything on their store, which is kind of awesome as well. So like this whole democratization of digital downloads and digital storefronts is going to be a huge deal. And I'm really surprised that more sites haven't actually done proper commentary on this. Because when it happened, there was like a 100-page NeoGAF thread of people going, holy shit, this is actually a game changer. This can change how things work going forward. And people being surprised that Sony did this, whereas Microsoft hadn't, because this is an obvious move now in retrospect. But yeah, it's just crazy to see like sites not picking up on it. But anyway, so yeah, that's like one element of next gen being here. Download speeds are fixed. Patches just fucking work.
And just background downloading is really good too, because I was playing, once the store got fixed, I was still playing FIFA, right? Mm-hmm. So I just hit the PS button, went back to the main menu, the XMB 2.0, as I like to refer to it. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. It's
went to go download Resogun, so hit the download thing, went right back into FIFA without any sort of loading screen, and then was just messing around with like some of the skill things. Until, you know, about 5 minutes later, got a little pop-up in the corner. Resogun is now installed. So, I just hit launch Resogun.
Yeah, and I just go. Like, it's... How do you like the multi... Like, so, tell me about your experience with the PS4 UI. How's the multitasking? How's all that stuff? Is it fast?
Like, it's not true multitasking, really.
Right.
It's similar to the 3DS, where you have your main game running, and some of the system level stuff, like friends and all that, will work without you having to close the game, but a lot of the larger apps won't.
Yeah, like, for example, if you're doing the share button stuff, and you hit share video, and then you go to trim video, you can't trim your video whilst running the game at the same time. It has to close out the game. Whereas you could just like upload the full 15 minutes and that's fine because it obviously doesn't have to do anything on its end. Or obviously you can't launch two games at the same time either. It does have to close one. So it's kind of like some system stuff works and the game is running in its own kind of silo. So they're doing the Microsoft thing. They just didn't come out and say that they're siloing off their operating system, but they are. But the crazy thing is, though, it did legitimately impress me how fast the double tap PS button to go back to what you were previously doing thing works on the PS4.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like Brad was brought up a website, double tapped, was straight back in his game. Some games choose to pause while you double tap. Other games don't. It's a developer chosen, like they can choose what happens. Started playing his game again. Double taps goes straight back to his web browser. And it was faster than alt tabbing. And I say that specifically because in my case, because I have a 2560 by 1440 monitor now, alt tabbing requires a resolution change as well. The PS4 kind of just makes it work. I don't know how they do. I guess it's because all the games are running at 1080p at the moment.
So it's probably it just black fucking magic.
Works. It just fucking works. It's so fast. It's oh man.
I agree with black magic. I like that idea. I like that explanation.
Biggest disappointment of the PS4 release: no black discs. That would have been a great.
No, you're telling me,
great
man.
Great callback. Oh.
It'd be great if they went back to CD ROM drives or CD ROMs. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Also, best part, if you're talking about black discs being the worst part, the best part is the beep.
Is it good?
Still there, I heard.
Is it good?
I mean, I can move my mic and let's see if on.
Let's do this.
My mic is like right next to my PS4. Let me see if I can see if you guys can hear this beep.
Yes.
Oh, that's a
yes.
Yep. That's a good beep. It's a good beep. Oh yep. Man. But that's the kind of thing, right? Because that is the next gen. It is console games are still console games. That's not going to change. You're still using controller, and we talked about the controller a couple episodes ago. Any updates on the controller? Do you like the controller still?
I like what they're doing with the light bar now that I can actually see games that use it.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if they showed it on the Giant Bomb stream or not because I had it muted and was like sort of half watching. Mm-hmm. That, like in FIFA, for example, you know how like in sports games, each person is a color?
Yeah.
In FIFA, the light bar changes to whatever color you are.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's
like if you're the dude with the little red icon, your controller will have a red light bar.
That's cool. So that's not just for multiplayer. That's just whenever
if I'm playing single player FIFA, like I think the default color is red. So the light bar in FIFA, the menus will be blue. If I get into a game, it'll turn red.
Oh, cool. And is that actually noticeable? Like because it's all the way down there. Like I don't see myself looking at my controller very often. Is that,
you just have to, it's pretty fucking bright. You just have to like tilt the controller up a little bit.
Right. And you can kind of tell.
Like a quick glance at the top.
So it's kind of like in your peripheral vision, you can see that it's red now and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, they're all, like, it's not like you're going to get, like, blue and then cyan. It's, mm-hmm. You know, blue, red, green. I think yellow was the other one, so.
Right. So, yeah. So there you go. So the controller is still awesome, is what you're saying.
Yep. And also in sound shapes, the light bar sort of picks a main color depending on the level. And then it starts flashing white like a strobe, depending on the tempo of the song.
That's cool.
It's like kind of dumb, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, like that's so. I like it. I'm putting my name down as I like that feature. That's so dumb. Yep. But yeah, like, what are your highlights of your PS4 experience? So Resogun seems like it was
Resogun. The main like system level highlight was I had a friend of mine over yesterday who has a PS3, so obviously has a PSN account and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we messed with the having two people logging in at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super easy. Like he just had to turn on a controller, and as soon as it turned on the controller, it's like, do you want to just play as a guest or do you want to log in as an account? So we, you know, logged in with his account. Did not activate it as his primary PS4 because he's probably going to get one eventually.
Right.
And then all we had to do was you had to press the PS button on your respective controller and it would switch back to that person's account.
Oh.
Like their main screen. So like if the store was working, because he owns Flower and I don't,
mm-hmm.
We were going to try and just have him go and download Flower because it's cross-buy.
Right.
But that wasn't working, fortunately, because the store was down.
Yeah. Is the store back up now or is it still down?
I don't know. I haven't tried to go on it today.
Right. So are we going to get a live booting process on the stream? Is that how this is going to go down? Because I'm actually legitimately curious now.
Wait, what?
Do you want to boot it? Does this work? Let's do it.
I mean,
let's do
it. I turned it on before. You heard the beep.
Yeah, I did. So is it going?
Turn it back off. We'll turn it on standby.
Squiddle.
While in standby, there's still power to USB.
Oh, good. So that's useful.
You can charge your controllers, as well as I was worried I had to buy a digital and analog converter for my crazy sound setup here that uses, it needs to be plugged into an outlet.
Yeah.
So there's no more room on the power strip for a phone charger. So I tried it, and in standby, the PS4 still charges my phone.
Oh,
that's amazing.
That's great.
The
only thing I want to know now is, will it charge an iPad? Because that requires a little bit more output. I want to see how that goes.
I have a very honest and serious question about the PS4, though. Will it blend?
Probably too big.
Oh, okay. Right.
But yes, it does wobble.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Oh.
I heard about the wobbling, and that kind of threw me off a little bit.
Have a wobbly PS4. I press this and put this controller down.
To be specific, when it's just sitting there, it won't wobble. But if you like, what do you have to do to make it wobble?
You have to the glossy corner where the Sony is on the front, right above the drive.
Yeah,
you got to put a significant amount of pressure on that corner.
That's so dope. Like, it's not even wobbly. It's just that its weight distribution is different to, it's not like perfectly square. So it's like,
yeah.
It's not like when it's working, it's just rattling on your desk.
No, not at all.
It's just, so the whole like wobbly argument, like Jeff brought it up first. What happened was, on the PS4, if you look at the bottom, there's 4 points of contact where it touches the ground, right? And you can see them as rubberized little things. There's 2 on the top right hand and left hand, and sorry, top right hand and top bottom right hand corners. So there's 2. The other 2 though aren't on the top left and bottom left. They move slightly over away from the hard disk drive storage bay. So pretty much close to the center of the system where the light bar on the top is. So directly below that is where they've moved them to. So essentially, you're looking at a system where some of it is overhanging to the left hand side. So if you press down on the left-hand side, just by standard mechanics and leverage principles from anything, it'll lift the right-hand side. So yes, you can make it wobble by pressing down on one side, but that doesn't mean it's wobbly. That's not how...
But why would you do that? Why wouldn't you put it on equal 4 corners or quadrants of the device?
So I agree.
That it balances out. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
From a design standpoint.
It's like, why did you, what manufacturing, it's probably something to do with manufacturing and how everything lines up in manufacturing.
It was cheaper to move them more towards the center than it was
cheaper to have it in the same plane as the light bar. So they're probably stamping them both, like the light bar and that, and the feet on it in the same process. That's my guess. But it's kind of dumb that they did that at the same time. So it's like, come on, guys.
I have a new favorite feature of the PS4, you guys.
Go ahead.
In the what's new section, which is the big friends feed, which just brings it. Everything,
like, yeah.
You know, has iPlayed sound shapes, I earned trophies in Rosagun, yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. But when someone becomes friends with someone else, it says like X made friends with Y. That's nice. A beautiful translation.
That's cool. I thought the biggest
feature was that Pornhub said that they were going to be exclusively backing the PS4.
Did they?
They are full throttle making it compatible with the browser.
Full throttle. Good choice of words.
Holy shit. Yeah, so like next gen's finally here. That's kind of my feeling. It's not like I'm in a weird spot where it's between the US launch and my launch, so I don't have one in my lap yet. So if you guys at home want to hear about remote play and stuff, I'll be testing the fucking shit out of that when I finally get a PS4. But Shinboy doesn't have a Vita, do you? You bastard.
No, I was thinking to myself, like, man, it's just it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when I end up with Vita.
Dude, like,
I just want to say the last handheld I owned by Sony was, what was the first one they put out?
With PSP?
The PSP. That was the last time I owned a handheld from Sony.
I think, the PSP, unless
it's the first PSP handheld. Go, yeah.
The only handheld outside the Vita.
Well, okay, but they changed it, like, I don't, why did they change the name?
They changed it like a million times. It was like the PSP, PSP 2000, PSP 3000, then the PSP Go. It was sad. Yeah.
Wait, hold on. The PSP 2000 and 3000 were actually things?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
By the way, the store works and it's super snappy.
That's awesome. That's cool.
It looks like the PS3 store, except it works.
Wait.
No, that's a plus.
If your friend is registered as a sub account in your system, can you just hit the start button and log in as him?
I don't know. Let's find out. Let me turn this other controller.
Live testing here on the show. And that was my favorite thing about the Giant Bomb stream is that they nearly bricked a PS4. Well, not.
Oh, yeah, I can.
Just figuratively.
Oh.
Oh. I can. Oh, can you make purchases?
Let's find out.
can you get Flower, the free-to-play digital update?
That's a good question.
Now that he's on your system.
Let's find out.
Let's just find out. All right. So, yeah. Giant Bomb.
It's funny because he occasionally listens to the show. So this is going to be kind of funny.
through just pure craziness, almost like just like through everything. They got their PS4 to be slow as all fuck whilst in the main menu. Fine in games, but fuck it, slow in the main menu because they were downloading multiple things at the same time, installing a game, playing a game, and like using some of the apps. So if you think about the amount of I/O that does in that like little 5400 RPM hard drive in the PS4, it's obvious why it lagged. The sad thing is it did lag, and it didn't really tell you why it was lagging. So all they really experienced in their end was they were doing all the shit at the same time and was doing it fine. None of it fucked up, which is a good thing. But at the same time, you can make your PS4 slow as fuck if you just throw everything at it at the same time. So it's like, it was interesting to watch them do it and start complaining about it, because everyone in the chat was like, dude, you guys are just like doing everything at once. Of course it's going slow. But at the same time, it's kind of sad that the system can't keep up with absolutely everything it can do at the same time. So, either way.
I'm downloading Flower right now.
Wow. Congratulations.
Is this a security issue? I don't know. Like, can you make a purchase?
Because what I want to check is if I actually go to power and hit like log out of PS4.
Yeah.
Will it still be there?
If when I turn this controller back on, if I can log back in on that same account.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't you be able?
Because I'm not convinced that it was actually logged out last time.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Because he's essentially registered as a sub account on your system. I think that's how it worked in PS3 as well.
I wonder how you can remove that.
Have a look. It might be in settings. I don't know. it's probably, or maybe press the options button over his account in the login screen. Maybe you can remove it that way.
Maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
So how are you dealing with the lack of start and select? Because that is really weirding me out.
I had a few weeks to get used to it, playing PC games with this controller. So it's like not a thing anymore.
Right. And do things usually, like, what's the pause button for most games?
Options.
Options. That's weird.
It's weird seeing it in some games, because it's like in FIFA, if you're doing like lineup changes and doing subs and stuff in the middle of a game, mm-hmm. like your okay, I'm done button has always been start. It's just weird to have it say options on the bottom.
Right.
It's like options to finish.
Yeah. And when I hear the word options, like, because options used to be what the select button kind of was, in that it brought up random shit that they couldn't find anywhere else. A place to put anywhere else in the system, so they shove it on select. So you get like things like in Persona 4 would be turning on and off the minimap and shit would be on select. That just weird shit would be on select. So now they kind of don't have that. It's just the share button and the options button.
I imagine you could click in the touchpad for that.
Yeah, has anything utilized the click in touchpad for anything?
Not that I've played. Right. Like, Housemarque said that they didn't do anything with the touchpad, and FIFA, you're not going to get anything with the touchpad because it's a big multi-platform game.
Yeah. It's
I know Killzone has stuff, but I haven't played that, so.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this evolves, but the overall impressions, before we get to Flower, because you're probably going to end up playing that live, what's your overall thought for the PS4?
I really like it. I like the games look good. Like, Resogun is awesome. Mm-hmm. It seems like FIFA is running at 1080p 60, which is nice. Yeah,
that is good. That is solid. That's how it should be running.
Like, having played a ton of it on PC, going back to playing that at 30 would be kind of rough.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see. Because some games, like Assassin's Creed 4, is shipping at 900p, so 930.
Yep.
But it's going to be 1080p 60 after a patch. So it's kind of interesting to see how some companies are approaching it, because it seems like everything's coming in hella hot. So stuff is like going, like, has been sent to manufacturing months and months ago, and they're essentially using that mid time to polish things up. It's like, for example, like Call of Duty Ghosts is also 720p 60 before patch and 1080p 60 after patch on PS4. So it's going to be like this interesting transition period between like all these patches hitting. And the best part about being in Europe and EU region is that I get to get my PS4 after all that shit's hit. So as soon as day one, it'll just work the best possible resolution and all that shit when I get it. So I can't wait. Yeah. So overall,
the live for PlayStation 4 streaming is pretty awesome.
Dude. So two things I was really impressed with the PS4 was how seamless it was that for the getting the stream, like a stream up, like Twitch or Ustream stream up and going. And how that transitioned to like almost everyone in the press just started doing, like Gary Witter started doing it, Jeff started doing it, Brad started doing it. Shuri Yoshida
started doing it before launch.
Shuri Yoshida doing it. Angry Joe from YouTube started doing it. Just like people just doing it now. And it's kind of, I cannot wait to see how this progresses, because like the major thing is at the moment, there's no way to archive your stream from the PS4.
The Twitch archive still works.
Exactly. You have to do it via Twitch, but it's disabled by default. So it's going to be interesting seeing, because obviously on Twitch side, they don't want a million people, like literally a million people, because they sold that in a day, suddenly streaming and archiving shit all at once on the Twitch service. So it's interesting to see how people start dealing with whether they're going to use the Twitch streaming, whether they use Ustream streaming. Are they going to archive? Are they going to use those archives to publish to the website? Because if Brad is doing pretty cool streams, at some point he can just start doing coverage from home from his PS4. And I want to see how that transitions to, like, in a Patrick kind of fashion, to just content on the website. And because the interface is very different. It's not like a, if you're using it with chat up, it's a very specific look to it. And I don't think that's a publishable look. It looks very like Spartan. It's a very PS4-y kind of interface. So I can definitely
see it.
It works for
what Sony needs it to work for.
Yeah. It's just cool. Like, all these new options are opening up because these new consoles are out. The other thing I was incredibly impressed by, aside from the fact that Twitch was working day one, was how good the impressions have been for remote play. Because, like, as you were saying earlier, you're probably going to end up getting PS Vita. I have one. I can't fucking wait, because pretty much consistently across the board, remote play has been like, yeah, dude, it works. It just fucking works.
It just works, yeah.
Yeah, it just works. That's the best thing I can hear.
Go ahead. I'm just streaming real quick. I'm watching an AC4 stream, right? And it looks good enough. Like, there's compression, obviously, but it's not too bad. Yep. I can see the little dude in the corner. He's talking, and I don't really care what he's saying. But
yep.
If I just hit, I can enter a comment. Mm-hmm. I can hit start this game.
Yep.
Since I don't own Assassin's Creed 4, it's like, can I find the application? Do you want to look in the PlayStation Store? Okay. About 2 seconds later, it takes you right to the AC4 store page. Wow.
I think that's cool. What's your thoughts? I think that's pretty damn cool.
I think that's really cool, because it's like, man, this game looks awesome. I want to buy it. And then it just takes you right there.
It's great, because the Twitch app is right there on the PS4 stream kind of thing. Because it's no longer...
Yeah, it's like live from PlayStation. And then you just pick all streams. You can do all streams, just Twitch. Let me pull up this Resogun one, because I own that game. I want to try and launch the game from the stream.
So I have a question. When you go to purchase something, does it actually ask you for a credit card, or does it do like an automatic purchase based on what you have in your account?
They do have a wallet system, so you can add money from a credit card or from just cards.
Yeah. Okay. But if you've set it up for your account to be automatic deduction from your credit card, it will just still automatically deduct from your credit card.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jeff.
Okay,
did it
so on it won't. Okay, that's pretty good.
I'm pretty sure I have it set so like it adds like say $59.99 for a retail game. It'll add that to my wallet and then take it from the wallet.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Because for me, my biggest thing is when I go to buy a game, I'm like, oh, if it asks me for my credit card information, I'm like, oh, do I really want it? That's my second guess. Where I'd rather
set so it's just like, yo, we're gonna take this amount from the card ending in this.
Yeah, it's part of the checkout process. It's like, yo, we're gonna deduct it. Like, yeah, checkout, and they'll just do it. That's you can set it.
Like, I bought Sound Shapes on the PS3, and it was that. And it's, I assume, same here.
Yeah, it's just on all the usability fronts, it seemed it's actually surprisingly well ironed out. Like the whole
that was
thing
instant.
What's instant?
I was on a Resogun stream, and then I hit start this game, and it instantly went to the Resogun loading screen.
That is awesome.
That was I'm surprised. It didn't even go to like the random blue PlayStation, yo, something's loading screen.
It just fucking goes. And that's the kind of story of the PS4 interface, man.
Guys, this podcast is on the verge of being derailed, but it's me playing Resogun.
Nice.
Like, that's the thing with the PS4. It just seems to fucking go. And I love that. So, transitioning from the PS4, that's kind of it. Like, the story of the PS4 launch is it's really successful. Launch games, Chimboy sadly hasn't been able to give us much in the way of impressions because he hasn't played them yet, but that's fine because aside from Resogun, they look pretty meh. Knack has gotten pretty much to the shock and surprise of no one, 50s and 60s in review scores. Killzone is averaging like a 75.
I don't want to play it even more.
Really? Just to see how that works out?
Because I played in curiosity.
Yeah, and it's so like, and Killzone's averaging 75 at the moment, and that's again not a surprise really to anyone except for people who bought into all the hype. So like, the story of the PS4 is, hey, if you want to play these awesome third-party games like AC4 and Need for Speed, or if you want to play Resogun and Contrast, it is an awesome system that just fucking works day one. Even though some of the online is a bit jittery at the moment, it's just because of load issues, and that'll get sorted out. it's just, yeah, it's an awesome system, and it's been really successful, a million a day. So, like, that's the, it's probably, like, the best launch they could have hoped for, with the only issue being the 0.4% of people who've just had bricked consoles. Because in this day and age, 0.4% of people is, like, what, 4,000 people?
4,000?
Because they sold a million? Yeah.
I heard somewhere around, like, roughly 5,000.
Yeah.
So that'd be 0.4%, 0.5%.
Exactly. And that's, but in this day and age, that many people is a big voice on the internet, because essentially all those people can freely, like, stream their experiences. Like that idiot who streamed his own home address when he was calling customer support, or just like being like just streaming. They could be in the middle of a stream on the PS4 if it breaks. Like that things will happen now and be documented in a way they never would have in the previous console launch. So it's going to be a big deal seeing how Sony copes with their 0.4% failure rate and how that affects the launch. But all in all, it's been a really pretty damn good launch. Like, is everyone? What are your thoughts, Squiddle? As an outsider who isn't buying a PS4, at least not in the immediate future, where do you stand?
The only complaints that I've seen had to be with, you know, the tilting factor, bad weight distribution, or whatever you want to call it.
The wobbling.
But other than that, I haven't heard a lot of people going like, oh my God, Sony, you guys are fucking horrible, shitty console, boo, hiss.
Yeah.
You know, nothing like that. So I'm actually very impressed with the launch. I mean, I was expecting to hear a lot more of, like, you know, everything's broken, nothing's working, people can't download updates, nobody gets to play for 48 hours type stuff, and I didn't really hear any of that.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
So,
like,
I'm quite impressed.
In this day and age, having a muted launch is a sign of success. Like, a sign of undeniable success.
That's very true.
Yeah, I'm testing something else here.
What are you doing?
Revan is currently online on his PS4 playing NBA 2K14, right?
Right.
So I see that in his recent activities feed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to click on one of them. Oh, yep. And there's a buy link right there. So I can buy it straight from there, or I can view it in the store.
Man, that's cool.
So, yep.
This gen is going to be crazy to see how all these, like, little things work into people's purchasing, like, decisions and how that works. It's going to be... But yeah, the next gen hasn't fully started yet, though, because just this next week...
It started.
Coming up is the Xbox One launch. How do you see that happening? How's that going to... How do you think it's going to go down?
For Microsoft's sake and for the people who are getting that system's sake, I hope that they have their network structured so if it goes down, the download servers for patches still work. Because without that day one patch, you cannot even play disc-based games.
And like, for people to know, for PS4, without the day one patch, you can still play games on disc. Like, it'll still work. You can't use the online, but you can,
like,
if you
FIFA
have
works.
Discs. Yeah, FIFA works. But for Xbox One, the only thing it does when it boots that first time is ask for the patch. It can't do anything else. So... yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I bet they have it locked down. Like, it's Microsoft, right? Like, when I see this, when I see how well Sony did with their launch and their launch software. What the fuck?
Sorry. My bad. I didn't know it would talk to me. I'm sorry.
When I see this launch and I see how well they did with their software... the only thing that comes to my mind is I think Microsoft is going to have an even better launch than Sony will. I don't want to be controversial here because I tend to prefer Sony when it comes to console size things, but...
I kind of agree with you. I mean, a lot of their business, especially with their cloud business that they've been doing, is having the cloud infrastructure to be able to handle multiple corporations and enterprise groups.
Yeah.
So if they have applied that knowledge to their console background, I really do think that they will have a very smooth launch when it comes to downloading packages,
okay,
patches, and having people connecting with you know, from multiple locations.
I figured it out, and also screwed myself out of playing Flower at the same time.
What'd you do?
Okay, so I was going through my friend's account and went to settings, PSN,
yep,
and hit sign out.
Yep.
So that means you're locally signed in as a sub-account on the PS4.
Right.
But I can't launch Flower without signing back into PSN because I won't have a license. So I guess a PSA here would be if you're a sub account on someone at like a buddy's house or something on their PS4, before you leave, go to settings, PSN, and hit sign out.
Right. But can you sign back in as him?
No. Okay. I don't have his account information. Okay, I can still like hit the PS button and sign into his like sub account on the system.
Okay.
Meaning since he has a license, I think, for Resogun. I know he grabbed it. I could play disc-based games, I believe. I don't know. I don't know how it works. Let me try.
Okay. Yeah, just try
this. Okay, no, I can't. I can't because I can play it, but I don't think I'll be able to get trophies or anything.
Oh, right, right. So without...
Yeah, I just launched FIFA, but I can't get any of the trophies or anything.
So without it signing in on... Without him signing into the PSN on your system, he won't get any progress or trophies or shit from your system.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because while he was over here, he was signed into PSN and he was playing Resogun and he was getting trophies. And we loaded up FIFA, both of us were logged in, and he was getting trophies at the same time that I was. If we were on the same team, we did something crazy or something like that.
Man, it's crazy to hear that Sony's finally caught up to Xbox in that count. Because that's always been something I'd wanted. Because, look, couch co-op is still awesome, you guys. I love couch co-op. It is like one of my favorite things. Even though I barely ever do it, when it is done, it is fucking awesome. So it's cool that I actually got that in. And so essentially what happened was he went to your house, logged into your PS4, signed into his PSN account, and it just started working for him. But when he left your place, you just turned off the PS4. You didn't actually go into his PSN and log out. That's essentially how
correct.
It worked
out? He signed out of the local account, like the system account.
Right.
Account is a weird word for it. He signed out of the
profile?
PS4 user.
Profile?
Sure, profile, yeah.
He signed out of PS4 profile, but did not sign out of his PlayStation Network like online account.
Okay, right. So I want to see how it works out if he had a PS4 and then he tries to log in from home, whether it just automatically signs out in your... This is the kind of stuff I love. Like everyone in Giant Bomb, apparently, I just like seeing how it deals with this nitty-gritty... Little
That's what I was doing too.
Cases.
Like, a friend of mine was asking me, like, "How do you like your system?" I'm like, "I like it well enough. I mean, I haven't been playing a ton of games. I've just been messing with things to see how it handles things."
Yeah, it's just the new shiny smell, man. I just want to change gears and see how smooth it is. You know,
just to put the PlayStation put my app. PlayStation app is kind of cool.
Just to put my nose up to that controller connection port and just like give a big old whiff that.
I mean, it's just micro USB.
Yeah.
Still good smell.
Wait, so
I've also
What does the PlayStation app do for you?
In certain games, I guess, it'll act as a second screen.
Great.
And I don't know if it'll act as a second screen in things like Netflix, because I don't use Netflix, but I would imagine it might.
All right.
Let me load it up. You can also... you can do all things like accept friend requests and view profiles and all basic stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like and view and respond to messages and like check trophies and all that fun stuff.
And this is the kind of weird thing where little usability things like this and second screen experiences and stuff, it's crazy because it's working day one. And it's also crazy because it can't get much press because it's working day one. Because... everyone knows this because the internet likes drama, but the only time things get a lot of press is when they don't work or when there's something horribly
like
wrong with
programming
something.
In general is like a thankless job.
Yeah.
Because if you do your job perfectly, everyone just goes, okay, good. It works like it's supposed to. If you mess up, you hear about it.
Exactly. Like SimCity wouldn't have anywhere near as much any eyes on it if it hadn't had all those issues at launch. Like, it was just being sold to the people who bought it out of the box, and that's it. Whereas, because it went horribly wrong, so many people looked at the game or dismissed that game or whatever. And I bet a lot of people bought that game after it started working again because everyone's like, hey, SimCity is part of the zeitgeist for that period. Whereas for the PS4, it just fucking works out of launch. Like, just on this podcast, you have, downloaded a game, changed user accounts multiple
and
times.
I just sort of hit downloaded and just started doing other things. And then, like, you know, not even 5 minutes later, I got a pop-up. Fire is installed.
Exactly. And you get your Fire is installed, then you're watching Twitch streams, you're playing Resogun, like all that within this short podcast with like no huge like complaints or waiting times or anything like that. It just works. And that is exciting to me because
back of the box, PlayStation 4, it works.
Yeah, it just fucking works. So Shinboy, do you have any thoughts to bring this podcast back onto stream and sort of close it out? So how do you think Microsoft is going to do next week?
I don't know how they're going to do. I don't know because they're not releasing in a ton of markets, but they're releasing in their biggest markets.
Right, exactly. I'm going to be shocked if they hit a million sales.
I'd honestly be surprised if they hit a million sales.
Yeah, it's anecdotally, obviously, is the only thing, the only evidence I can work with. It doesn't seem that there's much excitement for the Microsoft store, anywhere near as much for the PS4. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it works out on their end.
I got to show you guys an interesting picture. Oh, is it not on here? Oh, no, because I didn't set it up. I'll try and find it while talking about other things. I have an interesting picture that I took from where I park at school that you'll appreciate.
Great.
We can talk about other things because I gotta find it.
Yeah, sure. And so aside from that, I also want to see how they review score, like how their actual first party exclusive games review, because I want this next gen to be a fight, and at the moment Sony's doing really fucking well. If Microsoft comes back and all their first party games are like fucking 9 and 10 out of 10s, well, that's not going to happen. But 9 out of 10s, that's going to be exciting.
It's still a launch.
it's still a launch, yeah. I don't know. Squiddle, any thoughts on the next gen fight so far? Are you going to buy any of these systems?
I'll probably buy a PS4. The only reason, because I don't need the bloatware that Microsoft decided to throw in, like a fucking, you know, HTP set top, you know, streamer for my cable provider that I don't use. I mean, I don't need any of that. Stop trying to be multiple things. Just be a game unit. Don't try to be the one and all system because not everybody wants that. And yeah. I don't know. It bothers me. That's the only thing. So I'll probably go with a PS4. I had a PS3, I had an Xbox, which I found my Xbox in my garage. It's sitting in my garage right now, in a brown box, and it's been there for a long time. So don't really care. Maybe I'll take that in and get some in-store credit at some store company.
I saw a gas thread that like they're guaranteeing at least $100 for it.
Then I may take everything I have in and go, what do you guys give me? Okay, cool. Give me a PS4. But I will definitely wait till after the Christmas season before I go to do anything, because I am not dealing with stores at this point forward.
Dude,
so here's the image. People, you know, great radio dealing with images.
Yeah, this is great, man. This is great.
But put it in the notes.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
That, if you can guess what it is, do you want to take a shot?
What am I looking at? It just looks like...
That is the standard hotel, right?
Oh, standard, shit!
It looks like a standard
hotel. I took that picture from where I park at school.
Right.
And that's the hotel where they had the launch event.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I was like, I should have went to the city. God damn it.
Dude, you could have gotten some free swag. I would have
hung with Kojima. Ask him about Metal Gear.
There is a bunch of news. There is a bunch of news as well when it comes to the PS4 launch. Let's just wrap up what we've gotten through the episode so far. So far, just to wrap up what we've talked about so far, I just said so far multiple times, whatever.
So far.
I'm tired.
You said so far a lot so far.
Hey, yeah. You know, so far we've gone thus far, so let's go a little bit further and be even further away from where we were being far.
So in short, the PS4 is awesome. First party games are meh. Resogun is
like fan fucking fantastic. Holy shit.
Yeah. FIFA is good. I'll give you some more reports. We'll have ongoing coverage in the Scotch cast at least.
Soundshape for the PS4. Is delightful.
And Flower, I've heard.
I never played it on PS3.
Actually. Exactly. I own Flower on my PS3. I'm going to play it on PS4. Like it's free upgrade. I can't wait to have that as part of my launch lineup because I've heard it is absolutely spectacular. Which I can't wait for Journey.
Which is awesome.
And yeah, Journey, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I bet The Last of Us is going to happen too, because it's a no-brainer to get those games onto that system.
I could see The Last of Us specifically with a a Game of the Year edition, which
yeah.
might include, hey, did they announce DLC for that yet?
So yeah, well, it's, before we get there, the PS4 is also Microsoft, we think, going to do really well.
I set that up.
I know you did well. Microsoft is going to do probably really well next week. We don't think they're going to sell anywhere near as many as PS4s, but we think their infrastructure and their actual UI will probably be a bit smoother than the PS4s because they're Microsoft. That's what they do.
And Sony's a hardware company.
Exactly. So the hardware, oh man, it's so small. Did you see the pictures of the PS4 sitting on top of the Xbox One?
No.
I need to link you.
I have more room on this deck than I did when this PS3 was here.
It is like a fraction of the size. I wish I'd
bring it up. It sticks out a bit further.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Let's see. It looks like the PS4 was sitting on top of a VHS player. Like it actually looks like pretty much what you'd expect from there. It was like, no, I'm not going to spend more airtime looking up this image, but whatever. Anyway, so with that, there have been announcements. What was it? G4 TV or Spike TV had their PS4 launch. Yeah, their PS4 launch event. And in there, they revealed, well, not much, really, like, to be honest. It's just pretty much three headlines coming out of there. Infamous got a release date. It's somewhere in March. I think it's like March 11th or something. Which is good. That's the game I'm looking forward to most from the PS4 lineup. I can't fucking wait to play that. Aside from Assassin's Creed 4 and Watch Dogs.
March will be good because Infamous is out. And then for me, MLB The Show is out. And actually, no, those games apparently do pretty well for Sony.
Yeah. So. And what's the fate? Titanfall is going to be out as well in March. And
on PS4.
I'll get it on PC. I'm not going to get
it. I'll get it on PC.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's going to be quite a few good games out in March. So I don't know if it's the best timing for Infamous, but maybe it's some kind of.
How about this? I'll make a statement right now. I will get a PS4 when Watch Dogs officially comes out on PS4.
Cool. All right. That's slated for March as well, by the way. From memory, I think it's going to be a fucking ridiculous month there. Anyway, so that's one thing. The second thing is let's just get this out of the way. The Last of Us DLC has been announced, and it looks really cool.
Sort of announced.
Yeah,
but if it's The Last of Us, this can't be the Last of Us.
Well, it's a prequel. It's a prequel DLC.
You're correct. It is not The Last of. It is the before The Last of.
So yeah, it's the pre-Last of Quikalus.
Legolas.
Legolas. It's Legolas.
28!
What? What is that? What does that refer to?
I don't know what that was either.
What are you even saying?
If I'm not mistaken, 28 was the argument that they had.
Was it the final number?
Yeah, that was the final number after the battle.
No, it wasn't. They were in their 50s.
Legolas said 28, and then Gimli said 27, then Legolas said 28, and then, or no, 27, Legolas said, and then he shot the orc underneath Gimli, and then Legolas goes, he was still twitching. He goes, that's because he has my axe in his head, or something like that. And so,
oh, from the movies. Okay, the movies might be 28. So, you're right. In the books, it was like 40 something.
There's two instances in the movies.
Oh, yeah.
There is.
Yeah, that's true.
There's
one in Return of the King as well.
I think Return of the King was one where it was higher.
Yeah.
Count.
Anyway. what's his face? It's an Ellie DLC with her and Riley, so it's the time she turns. So it's going to be playing as Ellie and Riley. Do you think we're playing as Riley? We probably will, right? That's probably going to happen.
Probably not.
Really?
Is there an extreme hot coffee modification to this one? Because I'm really looking forward.
No.
Ew.
That'd be
like,
all kinds
like
of illegal.
11-year-old kids.
Oh, okay. God damn it. See, I have not played the game, so my comment there may have been really...
Right. I feel uncomfortable.
That's going to be really interesting, because Ellie hasn't had the training Joel gave her. So essentially, she's going to be... It's going to be not. Do you think it's going to be entirely non-combat?
I doubt it.
I think it will.
Because video games?
I think it'll be a very interesting choice if they... I'll applaud them, and I bet they'll do a good job if they make it entirely non-combat. Like, you have to run away from the clickers and shit and that kind of stuff. Like, you can't... Or maybe, like, the worst you can do is throw bricks at them and stuff, or glass bottles at them. But I don't think you can actually fight them. I don't think you'll be able to kill anything. That's going to be really interesting. I'm fully pumped. And that also means that... Because this is, like, the main part of Ellie's backstory. I bet the next DLC is going to be Joel and his brother and how they went separate ways after everything went bad. That's
because part of that is handled at the very beginning.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be exactly at the beginning. They're really close because Joel's daughter dies. Wait, should I say that? Should I bleep that out?
It's the very beginning of the game.
Yeah,
and it's pretty obvious.
It's yeah, exactly.
As soon as the game started and you started as her, I'm like, oh man, she gonna die.
Yeah, because she's not in the box art. I guess it's obvious. Yeah. So yeah, like it. So you see them there, and they're still really close, and he's like covering you and shit. So but when you meet him later in the game, their relationship's a little bit different. I'm not gonna say how it's different, but it's a little bit different. And I want to see how it progresses from A to B. So that I bet that's gonna be the next DLC. And to be honest, I can't wait to play as Joel again because he was my favorite character from that game. In fact, probably one of my favorite characters this gen. So yeah, that's the one thing. And then the other thing they announced, and pretty much the only other real announcement at this event, was that Uncharted No Subtitle is coming to PS4.
Thumbs up for the no subtitle.
Really?
Yep.
Do you think it's going to be Uncharted? Is this is just a working title and it's just going to be called Uncharted 4 when it comes
Probably.
Out? Probably. Because if it's just Uncharted, that means a prequel, right? It has to be.
Okay, so during some of my, let's say, less interesting or less involving classes, mm-hmm. Yeah. I spend a lot of time on my phone reading NeoGAF.
Okay.
And they were talking about how if one of the Naughty Dog dudes says, if you pick apart that trailer, you'll find stuff. So, of mm-hmm. course, that set the internet into just a fury of picking apart that trailer.
Absolutely, yeah.
Where the general consensus among the people in the thread was that you will likely be playing as Sir Francis Drake.
What?
Which sounds awesome.
What?
That sounds pretty good.
Bullshit. What? No way. No way.
Yep. Think of it this way. If you play as Sir Francis Drake, it gets around the problem of there being bullet sponge enemies because barely any bullets.
Oh my god. Wait, so how did they reach that conclusion? Because it's
I don't remember. It was just a ton of people picking apart all the imagery in the trailer and the voice and what he was saying. And
I think that's crazy. Okay, so the trailer was it's a teaser. Let's not even call it a trailer. The teaser was a like 15-second clip of a dude with a cool voice, and apparently he's worked in some games before, but he isn't anyone particularly famous. I actually thought it was the dude from No Country for Old Men. That guy.
Do you know the name off the top of your head?
No, I don't know the name. Okay. But yeah, I thought it was that dude, but it's not that dude. It's a dude who sounds similar to that dude. If that helps anyone in the who's listening to this program. Anyway, so it's him monologuing over a camera panning over a map. And that's the extent of the teaser. So the only thing people could have drawn conclusions from was what he said and the places and locations on that map. That's the only thing it showed. So it has to be...
Whatever, this is the internet. People run with things.
That's true. Like, oh man, like this map was like degraded not as much as it would be if it worn out over 400 years. So it had to be from 400 years ago. No, fuck off. I think it'd be crazy if it wasn't Nathan Drake because it's an Uncharted game.
I think it would be better if it was not Nathan Drake.
Oh yeah, dude. I want them to reboot Uncharted and make it because Uncharted is maybe a theme. Like, what they can use like Bioshock. Use Uncharted as if it were a theme.
I think that the Drake family would be a central tenant of
sure.
the series.
Yeah, and would you like a fully Melee-based third-person action game starring for Francis Drake?
Yes, of course.
Oh, that wouldn't
mix some of that Assassin's Creed ship combat in there.
Oh. And Naughty Dog could totally do it better because they actually do wave physics properly.
Boom. Shots fired.
Shots fired. Yeah, no, it's... Yeah, I'm tentatively excited for Assassin's Creed... Sorry, for Uncharted working title.
Also, that text looked a lot like the Tomb Raider text.
Did it? I didn't know this, yeah. Really. I just looked like text. But my problem with it is... So, Annie Hedig's working on it, obviously. She's the main chick who's written all the Uncharted games. So that's a good and bad thing, because I'm not sure if I fully appreciated her work in 3. It wasn't terrible. Like, the writing wasn't bad in 3. It was more of the actual set pieces and the level design. So that's fine. But the team and the head, the director and stuff behind it are the guys from Assassin's Creed 3. And from Uncharted 3. I keep saying Assassin's Creed. From Uncharted 3. And I don't know how I feel about that. Like, Shinboy, like, I think we're pretty close in our opinions. Maybe I liked it a little bit more than you did, but Uncharted 3 wasn't...
Oh, that part, the middle of that game is really bad.
Man, yeah, and the way, like...
Really, really bad.
That team has tech. Like, they squeezed some shit out of that PS3. It looks beautiful, and the level designs looks good, but it didn't play how I wanted an evolution of Uncharted 2 to play, and it definitely didn't go the places with storytelling, not the plot itself, but the way it told the story that I wanted it to go from Uncharted 2. Like, I don't need flashbacks to Drake as a kid and to play as a kid. Like, kids are bad enough in movies. I don't need more kids in my video games unless they're badass like Ellie. Like, that's pretty much it, right? And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they can redeem themselves, inverted commas, with the next one. But are you hopeful, Shinboy?
Yeah, because, like, I'm willing to dismiss parts of Uncharted 3 because of how good the first two were, specifically 2. Right,
sure. And, yeah. Before 3, they weren't split teams, so it's... Many of the same people who worked on 2 are still working on 3, so it's definitely a possibility that the game is going to be fucking awesome.
I didn't like 3, that video that came out of that game being played at 60 frames makes me want 60 frames in Uncharted game. Remember that?
Right. Uncharted 3 being played at 60 frames. Right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say there's no gameplay of Uncharted 4. But anyway.
Not that you've seen.
There is one other piece of news, but I don't even think it's worth it. Kojima announced...
Oh, this was amazing. So amazing.
Actually, do you want to say it? You say it. You go ahead.
In Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, there's an exclusive mission exclusive to the PS4 where you can play as Classic Snake, as in Snake from Metal Gear Solid 1 with a really low poly model and, like, no face because textures. And all of the NPCs are that way, and it's amazing. I love it so much.
Oh, gosh.
It's... Never change, Kojima. Never.
It's amazing because he amped it up so much. It's like, there's going to be a mind-blowing announcement at the Spike.
It blew my mind.
It's... the reason it didn't blow my mind, like, I'm really, really excited about the stupid shit Kojima pulls in his games, but in there's so many fours right now in Metal Gear Solid 4. In Metal Gear Solid 4, okay, not only did you have a flashback sequence where you literally, they put in that part from MGS1 where you're coming out of the elevator shaft and walking around that area. They not only put that part in, for people who don't remember, Snake was riding in a helicopter. He has a flashback to that. You play from, like, straight up as if it was a port from PS1 in those graphics and everything. You play that segment, and then when it flashes back, he goes, oh, and he wakes up in sleep. And for a second, his face is that low poly Snake face. And then from there on, you unlock a low poly Snake face mask for Snake, so you can play the rest of the game with that face on. So not only did you do that in 4, but also in 4, what they did and what made me really excited for the follow-up was that they actually send Snake back to Shadow Moses. So you're playing Shadow Moses with MGS4 graphics and MGS4 snow, and, like, it just, you're walking through this, like, huge snowstorm, and the complex comes up in front of you, and that's when they show the title card for the chapter. And it was one of the most breathtaking experiences I've ever had. And part of the reason I love MGS4 was just for that moment where you realize that, man, imagine MGS1 with PS3 or now PS4 graphics. It would just be so godly. Like, it's up there.
Now we're going the opposite direction. We're talking about GS5 with PS1 graphics.
Yeah, and so when he announced this, I thought, when he said something was going to be mind-blowing at this, I thought it would be either something actually legitimately cool that's new, or this new, like, awesome take on MGS1. But what he gave us,
a lot of people were thinking that it would be MGS1 remake.
Yeah, and because this is why. Like, for people not, like, familiar with the how MGS has gone over the years, when MGS4 came out, everyone thought that the next game was going to be MGS1 remade because of that part of MGS4 and how awesome it was. So when he revealed it was just like a low poly model running around in MGS5, I was just like, you asshole. I fucking
trolled everyone.
Oh, huge. But you know what? I still love Kojima, and I love it even more now that we know that MGS5 and Ground Zeroes are two motherfucking different things. And yep, they both can be... Oh, never change, man. Never change.
Kojima, so crazy.
He's so crazy. And with that, anything else in the news we want to talk about? I don't talk about resolutions or any of that shit. I don't talk about performance.
Not really? Talking to you?
Yeah. Squiddle, anything else you want to talk about today?
No, I got a gnat flying around my room.
What has everyone been doing? Like, Squid, what have you been doing with your week? We never got to that because we jumped straight into PS4 stuff. How have you been up to?
I would like to make an announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I have been converted. I am now officially an Android owner of an
Android hype train.
Yep.
Oh,
and
man.
I can't believe it took me this long to finally realize I needed to join the Rebel Alliance before the dark side took over.
So what pushed you over? What phone did you get, and what pushed you over?
Nexus 5 is what I got.
Yep.
And so now we're Nexus 5 buddies. A iPhone 5S that I used for a couple weeks, and sold it to my parents because they needed an upgrade.
Right.
And used that money and bought myself a Nexus 5. People are going to say fuck you for selling a phone to your parents, but hey, you know, whatever.
Oh, people say that. That's fine.
I don't know. You know, whatever. Haters can be haters. I just felt that it was time to make a transition to try to do something different. I didn't want to be one of those people. It really, what started all this was my stepfather had an issue with his computer. He clicked on an email that caused a virus and Trojan to get on there, which caused him to lose everything.
Oh, jeez.
I've been working on restoring everything for him. And
wait,
I
when was this?
To Windows 8. And he goes, I don't know how to use this. And immediately I thought to myself, I don't want to be that person that doesn't know how to use technology that's out there. And I used to be the kind of guy that would change technology frequently. And I have not done it in a very long time. And so I said, it's now time for me to change and try something new, even if it feels scary and different. It's time to discover. So that's what I did.
Nice. And how do you like the Nexus? Because I like my Nexus 5, but I have some more problems with it. How do you like your Nexus 5?
I absolutely love it. I have not been able to. I have been more multitasking on things on my phone than I ever have before.
Dude, how good is actual multitasking on a phone?
It's great. I mean, I had an issue this weekend with my work where I had to like jump between doing text messages back and forth, being on a call, combine calls into a conference call, jump back into an email while I'm in the conference call, and forwarding without it losing a beat at all.
Yeah,
and doing it. So I was extremely happy about that.
Yeah, dude, this thing
blazes. It definitely proved its worth over the weekend with the issues that I had at work. So I
was happy. Month has been the month of really fast new technology. The PS4 and the Nexus 5 have both impressed me with just how fast everything is.
You guys are making me so sad right now. Verizon is not carrying the Nexus 5.
Not yet. They announced they will. They will, just not yet.
No, they announced they'll have something.
Yeah.
They didn't say what it was, though.
Yeah, they definitely
Google said they're in the works with Verizon to release something.
I have until January.
Yep. That's when you're upgrade. There you go.
My biggest thing is that if I hadn't have renewed with AT&T, I would have jumped to T-Mobile just because they have a cheaper plan where I'm at.
Right.
And I would have done that if I don't have like another 2-year agreement with AT&T. But my theory is, hey, I actually jump if I was not in a contract to another carrier. Next month, that carrier is horrible. I'm going to jump to a next one. Mm-hmm. And that whole idea that I could just jump back and forth with no contract,
man,
it seems eye-opening. And I've never felt like – I always talk down upon that. I always said like, what does it matter? You're in a contract. You're with the company. You're never going to change. Mm-hmm. But I really thought once I had this phone, I'm in that area where I could do it. I'm like, well, why not? Why can't you do that? I mean, it'd be great if it's so much cheaper this month, or I can get in this you know, set for this price, then great, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
is that,
I think it's a definite door closed? Plus. I like it.
Oh, so do you keep that door open? You haven't signed up for a contract?
Well, no, I did. When I got the iPhone 5S, I renewed for 2 years.
Right.
It cost me like $300-something to break contract and go to another. Man. But right now, I'm still okay where I am. I'm comfortable. Mm-hmm. But when it comes time to renew, I'm definitely going to be looking for my options where I can go to. Because it really does not matter at this point anymore. That is a transparent point where I go to, as long as they have what I want. So,
because it is crazy how cheap the Nexus 5 was. Like, I just, it's a chump change, obviously. It's like $400-something, like the same as the PS4. But that was it. I just purchased it, and now it's mine, and never have to pay for any like additional phone charges or subsidized phone fees ever again. Like, it just, from now on, it's just whatever I pay for my phone connection, which is $40 a month at the moment, or $50 a month, and that's it. And then I'm just done. And
it makes me annoyed that, you know, Sprint, Verizon, T-Mobile even, and AT&T have gone to the point where, like, we'll put your phone as a part of your monthly contract bill and extend that over the course. I'm like, why? Just pay the upfront. If a phone that this caliber can be as cheap, and I will use that word cheap, as a smartphone can be expensive, then why not just do that, go with that, instead of having to pay, you know, a subsidized $200 fee for a phone that's $600. It should not be $600 in the first place, because it is definitely not worth that much when you look at the breakdown of how much it costs to buy each individual part.
Right.
And be able to go wherever you want to.
Yeah. It's just, but beyond that, when it actually comes to the phone itself, like, my only real issues with it are like just usability things. Like, for example, I hate that the headphone jack is on the top of the phone. Like, I just
know.
Really fucking hate
that. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
I hate that, because every time I use my phone, it's always like the cord is like flopping over the screen. I have to push it behind the screen. I just don't like that. That's the one thing I have. And the other thing is the screen is amazingly clear. Like, it's a 1080p screen, really good backlight on it. Really sharp. Like, I've given it to people who use iPhones normally, and even they're like legitimately impressed with the screen. My boss was like, holy shit, what phone do you have? I'm like, Nexus 5. Is like, that screen is just amazing. Like, yep, the screen is really good, but it's a little bit washed out. Like, have you noticed this?
It is a little washed out compared to my iPhone 5S that I had. The blacks are not as black. But that is, you know, and people will complain that, you know, the camera is subpar. Well, I don't take photos in low light. I don't know people who do and expect to get a good camera unless you have a DSLR with you. If you're complaining that you can't take a picture in a nightclub because you don't have a good cell phone, well, fuck you. You're not supposed to be taking pictures in a goddamn nightclub without a high quality camera. That's not going to happen.
I see that grime, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. it works great in daylight, sunset. I mean, it works fine.
Yep.
So I'm fine with that. And for me, in my company that I work for, we use Google Enterprise Services. Mm. So having Google integrated with a Google phone, that it works so much smoother with email. And that's where I say the multitasking works well, because of the environment that I'm in with my personal Gmail and with my corporate one. I don't know. It's second to none.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
When you first turn the thing on, what does it say? Does it say Google, or does it say like LG?
It says Google.
Oh, good.
That's it.
Good.
And right now it says Google with a little unlock padlock at the bottom, because I just unlocked my phone before we started this cast.
Yeah.
So you got to start doing the crazy thing that I had on my Galaxy Nexus, where you set up unlock shortcuts.
Oh, yeah. That's really good.
You're good. Really could unlock your phone straight to Chrome, or unlock your phone straight to your email, or straight to Twitter, or
that sounds great.
It's good, and you can also put widgets in unlock screen now. So it's
I don't know if I can do that because I'm in a corporate environment, and so they make you have to use a passcode to unlock. You can't just slide to unlock.
I had it, and then I had widgets on the lock screen where it would have like in-depth weather, anything that was on my calendar, which is like all my classes, all kinds of random information.
That's useful, and so. And when it comes to the actual software itself, The, what was it, Kit Kat is really fast. It's really good. My only real massive problem with the software, and this isn't a problem for iOS users because they're used to this, but for me, having used Android for a number of years, this change really weirded me out. You can't have your default home screen in the middle anymore. It's always in the far left. So if you,
oh, really?
If you so if you imagine all your home screens, your default home screen is always the one the very far left, because anything further left of there is Google Now. So
I don't mind that. I don't.
That's how iOS Google works.
Now
right?
Its own dedicated.
Yeah. So okay. Swipe left from or swipe right. So move the screen. Move to your left screen from the homepage.
Dude, I knew what you meant.
Is Google Now? Yep.
Because it's funny because on when I had my phone, because my phone recently I needed to restore back to stock because rolling back to an old version of CyanogenMod, something messed up.
Yeah.
And I haven't bothered to reinstall it because I'm due for an upgrade in like less than 2 months anyway.
Right.
I had it set up so my far left home screen was Google Now. So that works.
There you go. Yeah, this is exactly that. So,
and that is black magic. I will tell you that is.
I'm telling you, when you were out here, when you sent me your itinerary, it sent me a push notification to let me know that the arrival gate on your flight had changed.
Yeah.
Just pulling that from my email.
And I will say that the OK Google and searching for something is 1 billion times better than Siri ever was at pulling up anything I was looking for.
We just have a whole bunch of really salty iPhone users listening to this right now.
But I said, like, that's the thing, right? Because iPhone is where I just got a new iPad Air. I'm not sure if I talked about this show yet. It's really good. iPhone and iOS is where I go if I want a game on the go, aside from a PS Vita.
Sure.
But if you want an actual fucking phone that can also multitask and surf the web and email and all that stuff, Android just is so much better.
You want something that just gets the job done.
Yeah. And
I will say there's no lack to the phone's processing power to be able to game, but their developers have a fear of developing for it because they can't get a value out of it, a monetary value out of creating their game. Understandable. Yeah. I completely understand.
Absolutely.
But, you know, hopefully it will change.
Super easy to pirate shit on Android.
That's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem. Because Android's so open, people are too busy yaharing their
I'm just going to download this APK and go to town.
And that's the problem. It's just going to be interesting to see if they ever fix that. I can imagine Google eventually implementing like a encryption method on some of their apps on a hardware level. That would be interesting. But at the moment... Yeah, if you want a phone that does stuff, like anything but gaming, really, it does it better than anything else. Like,
I found myself playing Infinity Blade, you know, here and there, but I never really found myself playing games to the point where I said, if I can't play games, what am I going to do? I needed it more for the real world scenarios and doing things with email and with communication and back and forth. So. It's been great for that. But I tell you what, Star Wars Tiny Towers has become my addicting game to use while I'm on the toilet. So I will say that.
So 3DS is for, man.
I also have a bunch of ROMs and a bunch of games downloaded. And I'm playing I'm playing Super Metroid SNES once again. I'm very excited about that.
Man.
Metroid Fusion, man.
Oh, I should do that, shouldn't I?
That's cool.
It's a Metroid discussion, you guys, because I started playing Metroid Prime.
Oh. How's Metroid Prime? You know what?
I borrowed a GameCube from a friend to play Metroid Prime.
Yep. Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Going back
I love Metroid games.
Awesome.
I stopped liking Metroid games when they went 3D.
Metroid Prime is so good.
I tried it. I really did when I had a Wii and...
Oh, there's your mistake. Were you playing the GameCube version or like the trilogy?
The trilogy.
The trilogy is really rare, by the way.
Man. Yeah, I was playing the trilogy version.
You could probably sell that. No, I'm serious. The trilogy is super rare.
I have it in my closet behind me here on the shelf somewhere.
Go to eBay and look that up.
Are you guys going to pick up the new Zelda game?
Well, I almost bought a 3DS for that.
So I might... buy it. It's the first. It's going to be the first Zelda game I've ever played to completion. If I do, because that's the reason I would buy it, because it's gotten like 10s and 9.8s and like massive scores from everyone, but I've never liked a Zelda, and I want to fucking try it and see if it's any goddamn good, because my main problem with Zelda is the lack of voice acting, storytelling, anything that actually gives, like, means a damn.
I mean, not so much storytelling.
Yeah. This is your first Zelda, just get a ROM player, download the SNES Link to the Past.
If you're going to do Link Between Worlds, you should at least play a Link to the Past.
Yeah.
I can't. It's just too old.
Really? Oh, it's so I love it. I'm still playing it right now.
That's the beauty. You have the nostalgia for it, right? I don't. So it's just, to me, it's asking me to put aside Phoenix Wright.
That's like people saying that if Final Fantasy, you know, 3, they don't want to play that because it looks too old. But people still love Final Fantasy.
I have to be in the mood to play an old game.
Link to the Past looks really good. Like, the look holds up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And there'll be things in the UI, there'll be things in the way it works that will be the way
it works. That's what it is for me. It's not so much the visuals, it's a lot of the really old mechanics.
Exactly. That's what I meant before, but it's an old game. I don't mean it looks bad, because fucking we've been playing pixel art games for years now. Today's pixel art game, so I don't really have any problem with that. And it's not a 3D game,
is it? When you pick up a sword, you must go into the UI and then equip the new sword.
Yeah, exactly. Little things like that would really annoy me with how old games work. And saving. I bet it has a weird save system as well.
See, the thing is with the 3DS, you can just sort of close it and move on with your life.
Yeah. So I have to be in the mood to play an old game, and I don't think I'll ever be in the mood to play Link to the Past before I play this new one. But it's a Zelda game, so it's not exactly like, it doesn't require the previous Zelda. It kind of just works on its own, right? You can totally play
this. This one is a direct sequel.
Yeah.
So.
And is there any time shift? It's not like hundreds of years later, like Windmaker?
No, I think it's just like right after. I'm pretty sure it's like Majora's Mask is to Ocarina.
Oh.
Where it's sort of like direct sequel, kind of right after.
And Majora's Mask was shit, so I'm sorry.
I watched an interesting video the other day. As someone who has not really played any of these games, of explaining the whole theory behind Link being dead in Majora's Mask.
What?
Because each of the five areas are part of the five steps of dealing with grief or something like that.
I swear, it was kind of interesting. Every single goddamn piece of complicated fiction has people thinking that the dude's been dead the whole time. Every single one. Like, people are talking about that for pretty much every major, like, story-based game release for the last couple of years. There's a theory. Last of Us.
What's the evidence for that theory?
I've stopped reading them. It's just so dumb. The one for that is when they go underwater at the end, just before he goes into the hospital, they die there, and everything else is like...
That doesn't make any sense, though.
I think that was it. Again, I don't read these because they're dumb. I will say that
this Majora's Mask one made a okay amount of sense.
Some of them do. Like the Mass Effect one, Mass Effect 3's ending one. If you gave it enough time, they could start talking you into believing their bullshit. But it's not actually the case. And I think Durin was the one who actually thinks that's the case, but fuck that. No. Anyway, we've gone far from the point here. Shinboy, you already talked about what you've been doing. What I've been doing is been playing more Phoenix Wright, and I got a new monitor. I don't think my graphics card can run games at 2560 by 1440.
What kind of monitor did you get?
I got one of those badass Dells, 27 inches.
The Ultra Sharps?
Yes, I did. I actually got it for free. My previous employer just gave it to me as thanks for my work. And I was like, all right. So it's just this really badass 27-inch monitor now, which is almost as big as the TV next to it, just kind of weirded me out. The only real takeaway is, fuck, this thing is sharp, A. B, I don't think I can use a monitor at that resolution leaving everything native, so I've actually made Windows scale to 125% because it's just everything's way too small that way. And Chrome I've set to default scale to 125% because I don't know. Does anyone here have a monitor that high res?
Yes. I have one that's higher than 1080p. I have 2048 by 1152.
And do you guys resolution leave it is 2056 by 1440.
Yes, we have the same resolution. Yeah. Do you just leave everything unscaled?
Yes.
Man.
You have so much real estate.
Yes. Why would you so scale anything? Be a fucking pussy about it. Just leave it the fucking way it is, all right?
That's what my friend...
Do you push games out at that, Rose?
Yeah, I push games.
No, all my games are I know you do.
Oh, for me, I haven't tried. I don't know if my graphics card can handle it. It's a 660 GT. Ti.
No, you mean Ti. You should be fine for most games.
Yeah, I should be, but I haven't tried anything yet.
The good thing with that is a lot of times you can run it at that resolution and knock down the AA settings a bit because you won't need it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I turn off when I run it. I don't run with any AA or any other kind of settings, and it still looks great.
Since it's a NVIDIA card, you could probably run FXAA if you can find like a good injector for most games, because that is like next to no performance loss most of the time.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was playing Crysis 3, that FXAA.
You don't want to run like MSAA or
you do not want to run SSAA on 2560 by 1440.
I had to explain what Uber sampling was to someone before in The Witcher. I was like, imagine if you took MSAA and SSAA and combine them.
Oh my god.
And then everything ran at 2 frames a second. There you
because like I looked it up one day, and what it does is it basically, you know, it renders it at a much higher resolution multiple times. And then what it does is it shifts each image over like a tiny bit to create like the edge. Then downscales it to your resolution.
Just stupid. It's just like, what can we do with these games that don't actually use our video cards to their greatest extent? What can we do to these games to make them do it? It's just
that was just a CD Projekt thing. That's only a Witcher thing.
Yeah, I guess.
Not an NVIDIA thing. Still. That's a CD Projekt. We're going to make this graphics option red so people know not to turn it on.
Yep.
I need to get back to Witcher 2. I don't know.
Yes, you do. I finished that since we last talked.
It is pretty. I heard you like it, Shinboy.
I do.
Which ending did you go for? I don't. Actually, we shouldn't probably talk about.
I don't know.
I haven't played 3 yet.
Yeah.
All I'm gonna say is I chose Yorvith over Roach because Roach is an asshole. But that's an early game decision.
Yeah, it is, but it affects the whole game.
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt like The Witcher would choose Roach because he's an asshole too. You know, like it's.
All three of them are assholes.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think Yorvith had more of a reason to be an asshole.
It's true. It's true. But he's a dirty elf. I don't know.
Universe are awesome.
Hey yeah, guys. Widgets are pretty awesome.
Widgets are pretty awesome.
Widgets are pretty fun.
Yep.
Set a full screen email widget, and it's like the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Now I'm just looking at screenshots of Flower running on the PS4.
Looking at this giant res Link to the Past map for the past 10 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to wrap up this episode. I'll link you the IGN review. So thanks for listening to this episode of the Scotchcast. We've kind of been all over the place. In all, PS4 is pretty cool, you guys. We'll probably talk a little bit about Microsoft next week, but I don't think we know anyone who's getting Xbox One. I don't know anyone who's getting
Xbox. Maybe I will. This would be an asshole. No,
we don't associate with those types.
It's kind of crazy that I literally don't know a single person. Actually, no, I know one person at work who's getting Xbox One. There you go.
I'm sorry.
No, nobody likes an X-boner.
It's gonna be good. I bet the Xbox One is gonna be a better console out of the gate than the PS4 is in every way except for actual performance.
I think it will be more receptive to the masses and the lemmings out there. I apologize if you're listening to this cast right now and I'm calling you that. But because it allows you to integrate all of your items, and if you have cable, I'm sorry, you still pay for cable. People will buy it for that alone. They'll be, hey, mom, dad, we can integrate our set-top box from our provider into a gaming console, and I can game, and then you can also get cool features with your, you know, integrating with your cable company. And then there's a
I think it's funny
right there.
How Microsoft confirmed that the HDMI on the back of the Xbox One will work with a PS4.
Yeah. Yep.
So you can play a PS4 game in the little window on an Xbox One.
Okay. I may do that just for giggles.
It's a lot of money for just giggles.
Hey, well, no, you can also play full screen. Do crazier stuff just for giggles.
You can totally play full screen as well. Like it's,
yeah, I know. I just thought it was funny that you could actually, you can, because of the snap, you can snap a PS4 game and an Xbox One game next to each other.
And that's what I'm really, because you guys saw, did you guys watch that snap video that Microsoft put out, their demonstration?
Oh, I did.
Yeah, it's really impressive, right? I was actually legitimately surprised with how well it worked in that obviously really controlled environment, obviously, like clearly, but it's, I think the Xbox is going to have the easily the better UI in this gen going forward. So no surprises there. Like if you, it's going to be like the 360 and PS4, PS3, in that PS3 has more
functional UI. You shut your mouth about the XMB.
Damn.
As I said, the PS4 has, PS3 has a more functional UI and the 360 has a pretty UI. It's going to be like that.
Okay.
Like going forward. Again, it's going to be the same thing.
Man, this should just bring back Blades. Blades were awesome.
Blades were cool. I mean, really functional, really fast. Is that, yeah. I don't know. I legitimately expect that a lot of reviewers will prefer the Xbox version of games because it's easier to use the UI. That's kind of, it's going to be.
I doubt that because it will run or look better on the PS4. According to at least what Jeff has said, he likes the DualShock 4. Like,
I was really surprised by that. Really surprised by the DualShock 4 now being the giant bomb control of choice.
It's kind of,
yeah.
It's kind of great. I can't get it. I still like haven't DualShock 4 too. Fuck you. I still haven't touched one. I want one so bad. And we don't have any demo units here in Australia yet. Like, it's just nothing. I've not had a chance to touch a PS4 because there was like one like expo here, the E3, no, so the EB Games Expo here that I could have gone to. But aside from that, there's like be no opportunity for me to touch that thing. So next week is going to be really cool. Anyway, and with that, thank you for listening to this episode of Scotchcast. Shinboy630, any plugs?
I saw on Twitter while we were watching this that there's a site, nowinstock.net, where then you also go /video gaming/console/PS4, and it'll bring up like all of the different bundles and like all of the stores and whether or not they're in stock.
Whoa, that's actually kind of cool.
I'll link it right now for you guys to check out.
I'll put that in the show notes. Squiddle, any plugs?
No, if you want to follow me, I'm Mr. Squiddle on Twitter. Sure. I'll be posting more stuff now that I have a better Twitter client with my Android device. So nice. Look forward to stupid BS that goes on there. Other than that, have a great next week, guys.
Hey, Squiddle.
Hi.
What have you been listening to during this Scotchcast, whatever this hell this is?
I have been listening to Amon Amarth's latest album.
Receiver of the Gods?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I have been listening to Arion's both The Human Equation and I am now in the middle of The Theory of Everything.
I have still not listened to that entire album. I have not found a point where I can sit down and just listen to it. So
it requires just sitting down and listening to. You can't listen to that while doing things.
I'm hoping next Wednesday I will set aside at least 2 hours just to zone out.
Yep, that album's really good.
I'm not sure I'm going to fade out during that part, but just in case I don't... My plug is the Amazon PS4 store. It's a PSN store. You can just look it up on Amazon. Just go to PSN. I think it's actually an option now on their drop-down list. Games are cheaper on there, but like sometimes $10 to $15. So you're getting Amazon prices on your digital products. It's a big deal. So with that, thank you for listening this week. Join us next week for maybe some more impressions of PS4, maybe some Guild Wars 2 stuff. You never fucking know with those guys. You guys! I never know when you guys are going to do your Guild Wars 2 podcast.
I don't know whenever we're going to do it either.
Maybe some Microsoft talk, maybe some news if there's anything around there, because Microsoft's having some pre-launch events as well. But aside from that, thank you for listening, and goodbye. Oh, and Persona stuff. There's probably going to be Persona stuff, maybe.
No one cares about that, though.
Everybody have a good poop.
Bye.